Adam, haven't you been listening to a word I've been saying? I was just saying that we should phone Keith Russell and... Adam spun. Yes, I heard you. I hear you. Thank you. I am sorry to be rude. It's just that once more, I'm made to be dependent on someone else to rescue me. It seems to me that each time any of us want an equality of choice, that is, an equal opportunity and equal rights and equal freedoms, we continue to be little but the victims of chance, or conscription, or circumstance, or competition. Definitely competition. But seldom, very seldom indeed, are we victims of choice. Choice itself, given to any and all of us, would help us to make us be equal. But we instead are made to submit to the will of the law, submit to the customs of the people, and to uphold the perpetual traditions of the altogether vainglorious past. Well, I won't submit. Adam became impassioned. Martin, tea towel in hand, stilled. Adam went on, we learn too slowly. As long as any laws forbid choice, there is no true equality. But I refuse to go meekly. I will choose my destiny. Adam, I know you're having a hard time of it, but don't become bitter. And there were sudden, surprising, quiet tears running down Martin's cheeks. Don't become like me. And he moved slowly now, and sat by the table again, and put his head in his hands to hide his unmanning shame. Oh, God, he cried. An awkward silence, like the moment before a stranger's door opens to one's own knocking, was now full of things unsaid. The two of them, Adam felt, were as though ensconced inside the skin of the house, safe from the outside weather, but fragile, while the rain still drummed lightly outside, tapping its fingers along the wood of the window ledge, plucking at and spotting and streaking the window panes. But he and Martin were no longer of the same mind. Adam was frustrated, angry even, but not bitter. He always tried to give voice to his problems, always, with a sense of, and so here's my next plan. Martin, however, frittered away his time not only by liberally swearing at injustices, but also by uselessly flailing about in his vehemence, with his stick-like body stirring up the crockery or the yard ducks or wailing at the bemused congregation, as Adam had witnessed on that first unwilling attended Sunday service. Martin, like an alcoholic, was deprived of his essential sustenance. Now Adam had to ask, Martin, old friend, what is it that has happened to you? Martin controlled himself, became unusually calm, and finally looked into Adam's eyes. I have something on my soul, something terrible. I had it even back then when I first met you, that time on the train from Zambia, but dared show none of it. Adam, my whole life, all this, all of it, is a lie. And I am caught, I tell you, for they know, the church, my own mother, my own father. That's why I was sent out of Africa. Martin, whatever it is, there's nothing that you could have done that would have changed my opinion of you or changed my love for your friendship, nothing. We all do things, all of us. But we learn from them, my friend, and we get better. Tell me, please, what is it? Martin looked deep into Adam, seeing through and then past him, and finally, as though the next few words were pulled out of him on a blood-red cord of painful syllables, uttered, I killed my own father.